Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Antonio Brown is done in Tampa. That we know. But can Brady and the Bucks run it back without him? That is the question, my friends. Kyle Shanahan says, if healthy, Jimmy G is still his QB1. Are the Niners making a big mistake going with Garoppolo over Trey Lance? And Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, currently the 2 seed in the AFC. Should they still be the favorites, though? Good Tuesday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna, Nick, Broussard, Kevin Wells. We got a lot of questions. Nick, were these guys ever not your favorites? At any point, good, bad, or otherwise? They were? They weren't?
Well, were they the favorites to win the Super Bowl even in their lowest moments at 3-4? Yes, of course they were. And we're going to see it all play out over the next 5 weeks. What are we talking about? Let's not start the show with being dumb. Of course they were. Give me a break.
Let's not be dumb. Our theme today, not dumb. We're going to start with a little Monday Night Football. Browns at Steelers and another rough outing for Baker Mayfield last night. Browns quarterback got picked off twice. He got sacked 9 times. He had 5 balls batted down at the line. Guys, at one point in the first half, he had 10 straight incompletions. Steelers win in what was likely Big Ben's last home game, but the story afterwards, you guessed it. Browns loss, maybe because of Baker Mayfield, a beat-up, banged-up Baker, who just really hasn't been very good this year.
Now it's time for me to start, you know, looking at what's in the best interest for me and my health. I've continued to lay it out on the line when I haven't been healthy and tried to fight for our guys. And right now, I'm pretty damn beat up, to be honest with you. There's no way around it. I gave it everything I had tonight. I am going to have surgery. I am going to get this shoulder fixed and, you know, be able to come back next year at 100%. So that's been decided. Now, when it's happening, that has not been decided. As I alluded earlier, I don't have that answer for you regarding next week.
All right, first of all, everybody should be quiet during the press conference, number one. Number two, surgery he was talking about was to repair the torn labrum. That's still ahead for Baker. But Broussard, let me start with you. So, yeah, the Browns have some big questions moving forward now. What do you do with the former top overall pick? Should they move on from Baker this offseason?
All right, let's look at it, Jenna. Aaron Rodgers, pipe dream. Russell Wilson, pipe dream. Deshaun Watson,
pipe dream.
Probably a pipe dream. All right. And so if I can't get one of those guys, Watson would be the target, then I'm keeping Baker Mayfield. I am not moving on from him for another mediocre, slightly above average quarterback, a Jimmy Garoppolo, a Kirk Cousins, or an unproven backup like a Tyler Huntley. All right. So I'm keeping Baker Mayfield. Huntley. And look, he was tough. And he showed that grit by playing through injuries this season. But I've also got to take into consideration he is injured. And that had a lot to do with his performance. I'm not saying he's some awesome quarterback. But I'm just saying that the injuries does have to become a part of the equation. Now, look, here's the other thing.
Where was
and
this guy?
Cleveland is an awesome city. But everybody doesn't know that. All right, and because of its location, because of its bad reputation in some parts of the country, because of its last 50 years of essentially football futility, it is not a destination franchise. So some great, as Rodgers, Watson, and Wilson attest to, none of them are considering Cleveland. And I got to look at the history. Baker Mayfield, before him, the Cleveland Browns had 29 starting quarterbacks since moving back to Cleveland in 1999. 29! All right, I don't want to go back to that type of instability. All right, those types of yearly quarterback searches where we got a bad quarterback each and every season. I've got Baker. He led them to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. First playoff victory since they've been back to Cleveland. And there are reasons I can look at this season and say that's why he was subpar. Nick, he's under contract next year. Nice price, $18.5 million. I'm bringing him back and giving him a shot unless I can get some, one of those stars I mentioned at the top of the segment.
Yeah, I do think what Broussard is laying out is likely what happens. I also think they might bring in some actual competition. And I do, Wilds scoffed a bit about Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley, the last month of the season's looked better than Baker Mayfield's looked at any point this season.
Right.
And, you know, one is, now, do I think Tyler Huntley is a long-term starter in this league? I don't know the answer to that. But I don't think that's an outrageous name, and that is the type of name you would have to go after. Great quarterbacks do not just come available via free agency. But the story here, Wild, is that it has come to this. The story is that we are now to the part of the Baker Mayfield saga where it is a legitimate question to ask, should they just cut bait and move on? And here's where I want to take it, Wild. There, you can go online and look up a list of logical fallacies. I want to invent one. I want this to be my legacy.
Oh, good.
And that is the
this is
bet on yourself fallacy. Yeah, I want to create it. Me and Malcolm Gladwell, we can coin some phrases. The bet on yourself fallacy. And here's the fallacy.
Okay.
If you're on social media, if you're, just living your life, you hear about these bet on yourself stories all the time. And they work out brilliantly. Oh, I bet on myself. And look at me now.
I maxed out
I was down
cards.
And out. Absolutely. I bet on myself. And now look at this view of the ocean. Look at my beautiful family. Look at my cars. I was working in a warehouse and I walked out and I said, I can create the better widget. Boss
bet
man,
on, bet, on
bet on myself.
Yep.
Bet on yourself. And here's the fallacy. You never hear about the bet on yourself guys who are now, unemployed, divorced, homeless, despondent, because those stories don't get told. Well, Baker Mayfield is a bet on yourself guy this year, and it hasn't worked out well. There is an alternate path that could have been walked. The conservative path. The bird in the hand path. The, hey, Browns, right before the season starts, what's the last best long-term contract offer? Okay, let me go ahead and sign that and I'll take it. And guess what? If he had done that, Wilds, guess what? I bet he has the surgery 3 months ago. If he had was not playing for a deal and trying to prove his toughness, I think he would have temporarily shut it down the way he should have. And then maybe the Browns in the second half of the season don't lose three games where 17 points would have won it. They don't lose games 15-10 and 16-14 in these ugly, awful games. And maybe they're still alive for the playoffs. And maybe we're not talking about Baker Mayfield's future because he's locked in. The Browns, despite having the injury and some issues, are still alive for the playoffs, maybe in the playoffs. But Baker bet on himself and it blew up in his face. Because I don't think Baker is as bad as he has looked these last few months. But he's not good enough to overcome the injuries. He's already physically limited, and when you when healthy, and when you add other limitations via injury that I think he thought he had to fight through because he was fighting for a contract. I think it all started there, and it has spiraled out of control since then.
I think that's a great take. The bet on yourself fallacy will be your legacy, my friend. And I like that
you
laid it all out on the line. You bet on yourself.
Thanks, buddy.
You didn't ask us any questions like, hey, should this be my legacy? You just bet on yourself. So it's actually self-fulfilling as well. It's really chef's kiss. I loved it.
Thanks.
Here's what I want to push back on about keeping Baker. And Broussard, I'll throw it to you. Because I agree. I went through all the quarterbacks. I'm like, where's the upgrade? A change is not an upgrade.
Right.
If you don't like your seat on an airplane, it's like, all right, do you want to sit next to the bathroom? It's like, no, I guess not. I guess I'll be here. And like you said, the superstars are gone. So now you're left with, like, if the superstars move, maybe Aaron Rodgers moves, maybe Russ moves, maybe Deshaun goes to Miami. So then those guys are available. Dark horse MVP, Jameis is available. Maybe Tua's available. Are those guys huge upgrades? I don't know. And then you've got the backups, like you said, Tyler Huntley, Mitch Trubisky's out there, Marcus Mariota. Are those guys big upgrades? Again, I don't necessarily think so. So I'm like, yeah, stick with Baker. A healthy Baker will get you to playoffs. But Broussard, I think that makes total sense. How do we square that with the Odell tape that he put out that his dad, you know, didn't necessarily make but helped distribute, and the production that we've seen out of Odell, where it was nothing was happening in Cleveland, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, turns out the superstar named Odell Beckham Jr. is a superstar. What was the issue? Did he change? No, he just got a new quarterback. So I think that is the biggest indictment on Baker, more than his health, because he was throwing, Baker was healthy throwing to a healthy Odell, and it wasn't happening. How do you square those kind of two ideas?
Well, look, I said this when OBJ got hurt last year, that Baker, I think, would be better without him. I think Odell's celebrity, his persona, just was too much for a young quarterback, not just a young Baker Mayfield, but a young quarterback to handle. And I think he felt obligated to look for OBJ and to get him the ball. And he wasn't able to be a great quarterback with OBJ. And when OBJ got hurt, we saw that he played well. Now, OBJ with the Rams is different. What is he? The third option? I mean, he obviously isn't the first. He obviously isn't the best receiver on that team. Whereas in Cleveland, he was the best receiver. He was the most talented for sure. And you felt this obligation to get him the ball. So I don't hold that against Baker. As far as the tape that his dad made, Odell Beckham Sr., I think you can make that for a lot of quarterbacks, honestly. If you really picked it apart and found open receivers that they missed. So I'm not holding that against him as well. And I think, like we said, at the money next year, Nick, I think they bring back Baker, and it could work out for him because you said he should have signed, what, $30 million? They offered $32 million a year. He should have signed that. Well, if he plays well next season, even if they franchise him, that'll be a high number. And then if he eventually gets the long-term deal, Nick, that'll be far more money than he could have gotten
before. Yeah, the flip side is I don't think Mitch Trubisky.
There's no pressure.
The flip side is he's playing for a couple million in 2 years. The flip side is that if he has another year like this one, Jenna, he's not playing for real money.
Bet on yourself,
Baker. The last quarterback. Yeah, but the last quarterback to bet on himself was Dak, and it worked out for him. So Baker's like, he did it, I can do it. Maybe Jimmy G will do it too. Yeah, hey. Let's talk some Niners. Would they be making a big mistake starting Jimmy G over Trey Lance in the finale? Discuss that next. Much more on Baker still to come. We're back after. Niners have a win and get in scenario on Sunday against the Rams. The question, I got to know who everybody is. The question now, who will be doing the winning to get inning? Trey Lance led them to a win on Sunday, but take a listen to what head coach Kyle Shanahan said yesterday.
Jimmy's 100% healthy and could do everything like perfect. Like, then, I mean, I would definitely go with Jimmy. I'm not just going to throw a guy in after one game like this when Jimmy's been doing it for us all year. I think it's going to be hard for Jimmy to be 100%, which is how most people are right now at this time of year. But Trey did a good job. If Jimmy can't go, we won't hesitate at all. But if we feel Jimmy can go and play confident, then Jimmy will be out there.
How is this not a Seinfeld episode? Jimmy's getting upset. Broussard. Going back to Jimmy G for the win and in game would be blank.
All right, I'm going to admit this, Jenna. Kyle Shanahan threw out a lot of qualifiers. 100%, do everything perfect. Yeah. That gives me a little pause.
Wonder why.
But I'm going to throw that away. No-brainer. Here it is. A no-brainer.
Take it out of the
trash.
And
for the slow-witted out there, let me break it down. Let's see. Who should I start? The guy who we reached the Super Bowl with a couple of years ago, the guy who's won 68% of his starts, the guy who led us to a 31-10 victory over the Los Angeles Rams, who we have to beat this weekend, back in November, by throwing two touchdowns and accumulating a passer rating of 141.7. Should we go with that guy? The guy who has one of the quickest releases in the NFL, which we're going to need against one of the best pass rushes in the NFL. True? Or should we go with a rookie who started three games in the last 2 years, one of them at the Division I AA level? I think I'll go with Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick. And look, before I go to you, you're all gaga over Trey Lance playing well against the Houston Texans. Your boy, your thick-necked son, Trevor Lawrence, he actually played well, too, against the Texans. 332 yards passing, three touchdowns in his first ever start, okay? And Sam Darnold lit up the Houston Texans for 304 yards. So stop it with he looked great against one of the worst teams in the
NFL.
Jimmy Garoppolo,
no-brainer. You stop it.
No,
everything you said there offended me. First of all, don't compare Trevor Lawrence's gorgeous thick neck to Sam Darnold's chubby face. Those two people should not be in the same sentence ever. That's first of all. Second of all, I am not gaga over Trey Lance. I am just anti-Jimmy G, which you know what, Wilds? That means I have something in common with his head coach, who clearly doesn't want to play him ever again. By the way, luckily, this is a no-brainer for a different reason. It's impossible that he plays. It is impossible that he is anywhere close to 100% healthy for this weekend's game if you believe any of the medical analysis we have of what the injury he suffered. The grade 3 sprain, which is actually a tear. It's a UCL injury. Guys, he's not playing. And Wilds, that is good for the Niners. Not necessarily because it means Trey Lance is going to beat Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, but because it helps them turn the page to the era of football they embraced when they traded three first-round picks to get Trey Lance to get rid of Jimmy G. Y'all act like I made that trade. I didn't. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan did. They, by the way, they know Jimmy G went to the Super Bowl. They were there on the sideline, just dripping with sweat while Jimmy G was blowing said Super Bowl. And that was the moment they were like, we got to move on from this guy. I don't care how traditionally handsome he allegedly is. So Jimmy G is not going to play this weekend.
That's not debatable.
I don't know if he will. We can debate that in another show. I don't know if he will play if they make the playoffs, but I guarantee you Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing this weekend, and that's good for the Niners.
Okay. Wow, good guarantee. For the record, my answer is this will prove that QB wins are a stat. Nicholas, if you were Aaron Donald, do you want to play a rookie who had most of his experience, recent experience in North Dakota State, or handsome Jimmy G? If you're Aaron Donald, like, would you want to get your hands on a rookie
or play Jimmy G?
Wily veteran with Super
Bowl? I don't want to play the athletic wild card.
I'd want to play Trey Lance.
I want to play Jimmy G. Okay, well, luckily I am Aaron Donald, actually, so your opinion's invalid, Wild. Just
fair
so you
point.
Know. Don't you ask me, I am Aaron Donald, into that. I'm telling you.
Hey, for what it's worth, guys, Niners have beaten the Rams 5 straight times. Stretch that streak to 6 and they are in, but who knows who's going to be their quarterback. Head down to Tampa, where AB is no longer. Can Brady and the Bucs still go on a repeat run? We got a lot to talk about. We are just getting going. On a Tuesday morning. All right, we got to get back to the NBA. Talk some Tampa Bay Bucks now. Antonio Brown made his very public exit during Sunday's game in New York, despite how it ended. Bruce Arians said yesterday he has no regrets about signing AB. Easier to say that now that the chapter that was AB has been closed, I'm sure. But take a look at the Bucks receiver room now. Remember, they lost Chris Godwin for the season. Looks like this behind Mike Evans. Not a whole lot of prior production to lean on. Hey, Chris Broussard, how much trouble the Bucs in without Antonio Brown now?
Well, Jenna, they certainly aren't as good without AB. There's no question about that. But let's keep it real. They didn't look like the best team in the NFC, even with Antonio Brown, and or even with Chris Godwin, for that matter. Green Bay has clearly been the best team so far this year. And the Buccaneers are banged up. All right, so there's all that. Now, I was saying since Tom Brady's last season in New England that he no longer is good enough to carry, like, mediocre skill position players to the promised land. And that's why he did so well last year in Tampa Bay because they had tons of talent at the skilled spots. But here's the thing. I still think they have great talent. It's not, it's no longer arguably the best receiving core in the league, but you do still have the great Mike Evans. You do still have the great Rob Gronkowski and two other pretty good tight ends, OJ Howard, Cameron Brate. I expected to see him going a lot more to the tight ends now. And I'm not all out on these receivers who are going to have to step up and fulfill the shoes of Godwin and Brown. Rashad Perryman, we saw what he did on the touchdown pass that beat Buffalo. 58 yards, was it? In overtime, he beat Buffalo. Cyril Grayson, a burner, Nick,
yeah,
a track star at LSU. We saw him have show Cyril poise Grayson. Against the Jets. This kid out of nowhere, 15 seconds left. We need a game winner. They go to him and he delivers. Scotty Miller, where you been all year? I remember Scotty Miller from last season playing well. So I expect a resurgence from him. And of course, my man Leonard Fournette's coming back too, I think. So Nick,
maybe.
I know you want to pour water on the Buccaneers, but I'm still with them. They were my preseason pick in the NFC, and I'm sticking with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers to rally and get this thing done. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Broussard, this is going to go like all your other preseason picks. Aside from the Chiefs one, it's going to go in the wastebin of history. Your Dark Horse MVP, your actual MVP, your NFC champion, all of your Saints are frisky, all this stuff. It's all gone and goodbye. No, listen, here's the deal. Here's what the Bucs have going for them. They are almost assuredly going to get Philly in round one. If you play with the different playoff scenarios, 8 out of 10 of them involve the Bucs getting Philly in round one. So they'll win round one. That's fine. After that, it's awful tough sledding. And there are a few things Broussard said there about the receiving core that I take issue with. One is, you just said it as a given. You have the great Mike Evans. That's, to me, at this point of his career, a slightly liberal use of the word great. Would Mike Evans be the best receiver on the Packers? No. Would he be the best receiver on the Rams? No.
Well,
he wouldn't.
That's not fair.
Would he be the best receiver on the Cowboys?
Maybe.
What do you mean that's not fair? That's who they're competing against. Wilds, that is literally
Would Ja Morant be the best player on the Lakers? Would Ja Morant be the best player on the Lakers?
Hold on.
It's not all that good.
That's a good question.
Right, and that would matter. And by the way, Broussard, that'll matter if they play each other in the playoffs. So, right? Like, you are, yes, Mike Evans would absolutely, unquestionably be the best receiver right now on, the Washington football team, but they're not going to be in the tournament. And so Mike Evans, whose biggest question at this point is availability, is a very good receiver. Is he a top, eight receiver in the NFL? No, he's not, but he's very good. But then after that, it's a bunch of, no one people are familiar with. The person with the highest name recognition is Rashad Perriman. So we know that's an issue. We also know the defense is not nearly what it was last year. Last year, they had a historically good run defense. Last week, and the Jets ran all over them. And their secondary's banged up. What my biggest takeaway from this actually is, Wilds, is less about the Bucs and more about the Packers. With the Bucs this banged up, with the Rams watching Stafford go full Stafford in a bad way, with the Cardinals still being coached by Cliff Kingsbury, and with the Cowboys still being coached by Mike McCarthy, the path could not be more clear for the Green Bay Packers. They have the one seed locked up. They can rest their guys if they want this week, and they have the bye. If the Packers in this situation don't make it to the Super Bowl, then one has to ask, when the hell will they? Because it could not be breaking better for them. With Tampa getting this banged up, the Rams not playing their best ball at the end of the year, the Cardinals not playing their best ball at the end of the year, and the Cowboys not playing their best ball at the end of the year. Now, you got to be worried about the frisky Niners if they get in with Trey Lance. But aside from that, seems pretty open for the Green Bay Packers right now.
Okay. Let me boil down Nick's argument. All of that boils down to this statement that he doesn't actually want to say out loud because it will come back to bite him. I don't believe, I being Nick Wright, I better stop so I don't get, people put me on the old internet. Nick Wright doesn't believe that Tom Brady can pull it off. All of that was Nick Wright doesn't believe Tom Brady can pull it off.
It's which not are fair to ask him to.
Words to die by. It is 100% fair. That's what he does. Tom Brady will figure out a way. By the way, everyone, Antonio Brown does not play on the offensive line. There's one way to beat Tom Brady. It's with a banged up offensive line, and then you can get to him. If there's enough weapons out there, Tom Brady will make it work. In his career, 704 touchdowns to 91 guys. He'll throw to wide receivers. He'll throw to tight ends. He'll throw to offensive linemen. He'll turn a quarterback from Kent State into a Hall of Famer. And now we're seeing a track star in Cyril Grayson. What was that? Yeah, I know he's not in yet. I apologize. He's not in yet.
I apologize.
We're seeing Mr. Grayson go for 12 receptions, 212 yards. He's 10 for 12 catching passes from Tom Brady. This guy will step up, and Tom Brady will turn him into a great player. Go ahead.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Wild. Then let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Then why was he so attached to Antonio Brown? If who's catching the balls doesn't matter.
I don't know. That's the million-dollar question.
Dinner time conversation.
No one knows that.
His great personality. He's just a great guy to hang out with.
AB
they discuss music.
He's a legitimately great receiver. Or is it because he knew he needed him?
Yeah, it's because he knows. Because he knows Bruce
was legitimately
great receiver. That he needs as many weapons as possible. Yes, and so the guys, hold on. How can both these things be true?
I think these guys can be weapons.
How can it be true?
Yeah.
Well, then you don't.
I didn't even mention Tyler Johnson.
Finish.
I didn't even mention Tyler Johnson. I liked him last year when he was a little bit more.
Because he made one catch against Green Bay last year. It's the only moment in the 3rd and 10 that Aikman fell out of his chair on. I remember it too. And Scotty Miller made one catch that we all remember right before halftime. We remember these individual moments on the Bucs' magical run last year. But wait a second, guys. We can't say that Brady, what happened to Brady at the end of his time in New England? Oh, they didn't have any weapons. They didn't have any weapons. What happened with the Bucs last year? Oh, my God, they had all these weapons. Godwin, Brown, healthier Evans, Gronk back, fresh off the year. And now some of those guys are gone. We're like, oh, it won't matter. One of those things has to not be true. I don't know which one. It can just be that Brady is better than he was 2 years ago, Broussard, but one of them, at least one of them, has to not be true.
Here's the thing, Nick. Everybody can't play. The reason you didn't see more of Tyler Johnson, of Perryman, of Grayson, even of Miller, who like you had a highlight moment. The reason you didn't see more of them was because you had Godwin and Antonio Brown. All right, I can only play so many. I think these dudes are really good. And like you got two of them who are flat out speedsters, all right, in Grayson and Miller. So I'm telling you, watch out. Tampa Bay is not going away yet, Nick. Mark my words.
Ooh, are they better, man?
Mark the brother's words.
Okay.
I just want to say, Scotty, everybody. Time for Nick to hand out some medals. Take a breather, Nick. We'll get to you back in a second. Rockets, Sixers, and how about Joel Embiid? Man on a mission. 31-15-10, his third career triple-double. An MVP chance from the Philly faithful in the Sixers win, but no medal to bring home. Nick, which three guys were podium-worthy last night?
Great job, Joel, but no medal. We will start with Anfernee Simons. No Dame, no problem. He goes for 43 points. Funny true story about the original Anfernee Penny Hardaway. When I was a child, I had a terrible speech impediment, couldn't say my R's. I was talking to my dad once about Anfernee Hardaway. He said the name back to me. My mom thought he was mocking my speech impediment, started screaming at him. They got divorced shortly thereafter. I've always kind of blamed myself. However, that's just his name, Anfernee Simons. I guess not a funny story. Silver medal, John Morant. How about this with Antonio Brown sitting courtside? John Morant says, I'm in a game with James Harden and Kevin Durant. Well, Kevin Wilde says, I'm the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. I will put on an electrifying show for Antonio Brown and others. A Barclays Center that started chanting MVP for an opponent. It's almost like they don't have real fans in Brooklyn. More on that story after the show. John Morant gets a silver. And then the gold. the rare gold in a loss.
Wow.
But when you drop the old 56 and 14, you get one. Now, we do have to do a conversion, like a metric system conversion. 56 points against the Blazers is actually only 41 against a real NBA defense, but still quite good. There it is, Trae Young. 56 and 14. That might be the best medal stand we've ever had, not because of the players, but because I was outstanding and vulnerable talking about my childhood, speech impediments, divorces, broken homes. Jenna Wolf, there it is.
No feeling. Powerful.
We feel for you, Nick.
Powerful.
We feel
for
you.
I said Anthony. Anthony. And my mom thought my dad was mocking.
And because of that.
It was tough.
We'll give you a little Patrick Mahomes to soothe that terrible childhood story. Take him in, Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs, not the one seed anymore, but should they still be the favorites to win the AFC? Asked and answered next. First things first. Back here, first things first, talking some Kansas City Chiefs now. After falling to Cincinnati on Sunday, last year's AFC champs no longer control their own destiny to get the coveted number one seed and home field throughout the playoffs. And get this, KC. Now 1-4 this season against current AFC playoff teams. Nick, what's that expression you like to use? How does it go? Oh yeah, that ain't great.
This is wildly misleading, unfair, and bad journalism.
With us.
Is that the phrase?
Not that one.
The one with the great.
Okay, that's the was the other one.
Sorry. Go
ahead. Hey LeVar, good morning. Thanks
Hello.
For being
good morning,
with
guys.
Us.
Absolutely.
Good morning. Is it, LeVar, a big deal or no big deal that the Chiefs are 1-4 versus AFC playoff teams?
Yeah, I got to go with not a big deal. I mean, one of those teams is the Chargers. They've already redeemed that loss this season. The Bengals are playing very well right now, and they could be dangerous. Tennessee, they could get Derrick Henry back. They could be dangerous. I think that you're looking at a team that has really done a tremendous job of trying to figure things out. Now, I know that they took this loss to the Bengals on this past weekend, and it was a close game. But I think come playoff time, I think as it applies to the Bengals, I think it's experience over anything else that would be to the detriment of Cincinnati if they were to play against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think right now it's I wanted to say the Colts were going to be a dangerous team, and that's not I do believe that is one of the teams they lost to as well. But I'm not certain. I don't trust any of these teams in the AFC to say that I'm 100% confident in saying that because the Chiefs went 1-4 against teams that they're going to see in the playoffs, that they're now in a complex situation as to how hard their road is to the Super Bowl. I think they're playing well enough offensively and defensively that if they stay healthy and can get a little bit more out of their running game, I think that they'll be just fine.
Of course they'll be just fine. They're the favorites in the conference for a reason, LeVar. And this is, dare I say, and I think this is a Kevin Wilds topic. It's dripping in Kevin Wilds. You know why? Because it is a true stat, but it is a misleading one, my friend. Because if we just changed that little AFC word on the bottom line to NFL playoff teams, the answer would be 4-4. And if we changed it to, what's the Chiefs record? Because we don't know what the bracket's going to be. Against teams this year that are still alive for the playoffs. Oh my goodness gracious. Now it's 7-4. Because so why? Oh, I'm sorry. Are the Raiders a terrible team? Because I thought they were playing in the final game of the regular season because it's
they
a win and
you're
in game.
You.
I'm sorry. I thought the NFL, maybe the schedule makers don't know what they're doing. Maybe their record's meaningless. I'm sorry. I apologize. You talk to your friends at Park Avenue about that. I don't make the schedule. I also don't make them still alive. Control your own destiny to get in the postseason, my friend. But that's either here nor there. Here is the deal. So Kevin Wilds, and I know this to be true. The Chiefs were in a no-win situation. For some folks, because had they beaten the Bengals, you know what we would have heard? Oh, my goodness. Kansas City, yeah, they look great, but they're peaking too early. You know why? How I know we would have heard that? Because I heard it a week ago. And now that they've lost, it's like, oh, they can't beat the good teams. So I'm just like, I'm very curious because I know Broussard still believes the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl because he's a smart, good-looking man of integrity. Wilds, only one of those things applies to him. He can pick which one. Wilds, do you think this is a big deal?
Yes. I think it is an interesting note. But if I had to pick between no big deal and big deal, I would lean 60-40 big deal. And here's why, Broussard. There is a certain aura around the Chiefs. There's a certain mystique. Oh, my goodness. It's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Tyreek Hill, and it's Travis Kelce. And I honestly think teams are afraid to play the Chiefs. They're afraid to take their offense on the off the field because they think they need to score 30 points, when for a long time in portions of this season, you only really need to score about 21 to get the win. So this is why I'm 60-40 big deal. I think if teams know they can get over on the Chiefs because they have done it before, it gives them the little extra confidence that maybe they can play a more normal game. Not like the game that the Chargers did when they were scared of the Chiefs and had to go for the fourth down and then did it again and it cost them the game. I think they could just play normal football. The Bills, for example, can play normal football and have no fear factor when they play the Chiefs. So because of the Bills, I think the Bills have regained their confidence against the Chiefs. I do think it's a big deal.
Here's what I'll give you, Wilds. Here's the one thing I'll give you. That aura of invincibility that the Chiefs have had that you alluded to,
yep,
it's not there. Okay, the teams do feel like, I'm sure several teams in the AFC playoffs feel like they can beat Kansas City. All right, no doubt about that. However, I got to go with Nick and LeVar. Not a big deal. Because most of those losses, as we all know, came when the Chiefs were struggling. They came before Patrick Mahomes figured it out. Because he had 10 interceptions in his first 8 games of the season. He's had 3 in the final 8 games of the season. He's figured it out. All right, the cover 2 that had really, you know, bewildered him. He figured it out. Okay, it was before Chris Jones was moved back inside to defensive tackle. And now Jones has 6 sacks in his last 5 games after only having like 3 in his first 7 games. He's back to himself. It was before Frank Clark was healthy, and now he's wreaking havoc defensively. It was before Juan Thornhill replaced old man Daniel Sorensen as the safety. So the Chiefs are a different team. We've seen it over the last few months. So I don't think that record at all, Nick, is relevant.
Here's the other thing, and I'd like LeVar's take on this. I think we all agree that had the Chiefs won the game Sunday, the conversation surrounding them would be, obviously, it'd be a 9-game winning streak. They'd be the one seed, and they've the number one offense in football over the last few months, and the defense's issues wouldn't have been so glaring. What did it take for the Chiefs to lose that game? It took, first of all, one of the greatest receiving performances in NFL history by a rookie or anybody. It then took an incredibly odd confluence of events at the goal line, where you have a 1st and 10 from the 11 instead of a 1st and goal from the 10, then the penalties, all of those things in order for the Bengals to be able to bleed all the clock. And it took, if you listen to Joe Burrow, not me, some really fortunate officiating errors, most notably a missed blatant false start that would have turned it into a 3rd and goal from the 6 instead of from, or 3rd and 6 from the 7 instead of 3rd and goal from, or 3rd and 1 from the 2. All of those things changed the map. All of that had to happen for the Bengals to win a football game with a field goal at the gun. I don't think there is any, if we see this matchup again, it would be in Arrowhead. I don't think the Chiefs go into that game, LeVar, at all worried, I don't know if we can beat these guys. I think the Chiefs go into the matchup and say, hey, let's make sure Chase doesn't go for 270 again, and we should be all right.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, when you look at this Chiefs team, they have applied, they have asserted themselves. I like the way the Bills have bounced back. They have been playing well, Wilds, to your point. I just don't see a quarterback. Like, if we're looking at Joe Burrow is the future, but is he the now? I don't know that he's the now this year. And then you look at the other ones, is Herbert. Is Herbert the now? Are any of these guys the now? Wow. Are they the now? You're going to be convinced.
What do you want Joe Burrow to do? He almost threw for 1,000 yards in 2 weeks. I think you got to give him a little bit of credit. What do you want to do? So, wouldn't you be 1,200 yards, 1,100? For the record, the guy who had three points in the second half, and that's because why they lost. They didn't lose because of the goal line stuff. It's because Mahomes had 3 points in the second half.
He didn't even kick the field.
Someone else did.
I felt the sarcasm in your voice, but tell me again, was he playing last year? Oh, no, he was nursing and rehabbing. Has he won a playoff game yet?
Well, that part is
Mac Jones. Doesn't mean he's not great.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. But LeVar, LeVar just keyed on something that is important. and that I think we just need, forget Mahomes part of it. We just need to go back and look at how Lamar Jackson had been evaluated. I know Herbert's been excellent the last 2 weeks. Lamar won a unanimous MVP, and people were not fully buy into him until he won a playoff game.
Or wins a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl eventually, sure. But the first step is win a playoff game. I think Herbert is excellent. I think Burrow is excellent. Yeah. But for all these quarterbacks, there's always been the, you show it to me in the regular season, let me see you win a playoff game. Herbert and Burrow haven't had the opportunity yet, and so we need to see that. I think that's totally fair.
Thank you, Nick. And Wilds, I did not appreciate the sarcasm.
Monday Night Football, Browns at Steelers, and boy, another rough outing for Baker Mayfield. The Browns quarterback had himself a night, not in the good way. He got picked off twice. He got sacked 9 times. He had 5 balls batted down at the line. He's banged up and injured, but at one point in the first half, he had 10 straight incompletions. Steelers win in what was likely Big Ben's last home game, an emotional night for him. But the story afterwards, it was Baker Mayfield. Baker he's injured, but hasn't been very good this year. Take a listen.
Now it's time for me to start, looking at what's in the best interest for me and my health. I've continued to lay it out on the line when I haven't been healthy and tried to fight for our guys. And right now, I'm pretty damn beat up, to be honest with you. There's no way around it. I gave it everything I had tonight. I am going to have surgery. I am going to get this shoulder fixed and, be able to come back next year at 100%. So that's been decided. Now, when it's happening, that has not been decided. As I alluded earlier, I don't have that answer for you regarding next week.
All right, Broussard, listen, the Browns, they have some big questions moving forward now. What do you do with the former top overall pick? Should they move on from Baker this offseason?
Well, look, Jenna, if Aaron Rodgers is a pipe dream, if Russell Wilson is a pipe dream, if Deshaun Watson is a pipe dream, then, yeah, I'm bringing back Baker Mayfield, and it's not a hard decision. I kick the tires on those guys, especially Deshaun, but if I can't get them, I'm with Baker Mayfield. I don't move on from Baker for another mediocre to slightly above average quarterback, a Kirk Cousins, a Jimmy Garoppolo, even an unproven backup like a Tyler Huntley who might be able to start somewhere. I don't bring any of them in and replace Baker Mayfield. The one guy, Wild, you mentioned him earlier, Jameis Winston, who you know I like. Even Jameis, though, is not really more proven than Baker. All right, Baker did lead them to the playoffs a year ago. It was their first playoff victory in 18 years. And the Browns organization has to understand this. Two things, really. One, Baker played through injuries. And I like that he played through injuries. I think it was the right thing to do. He showed toughness, and he tried to reach the playoffs. But you have to evaluation of him, you have to take that into consideration. That this guy was banged up. What was he? Maybe 75%, if that. So understand that and think he's more like the guy we saw last year than the guy that played this year. Secondly, as great a city as Cleveland is, brothers don't know it. Guys don't know how great of a city is. So it's not a destination for free agents. You're not getting that great quarterback, as we said, with Rodgers, Wilson, and Watson. They're not even thinking about Cleveland. And for since they moved back to Cleveland in 1999, they had 29 starting quarterbacks before Baker Mayfield. And as uproarious as his tenure has been in Cleveland, he has brought stability. A starter for 4 years and a good one, especially last year. Yeah. So, no, you don't move on from Baker, especially when you're only paying him $18 million next year and you can franchise him after that. You don't have to give him the huge long-term contract. So what's the question? Of course I'm bringing him back.
Okay, so I just want to let the audience know, because I was caught on camera laughing there. I was not laughing at Broussard's overall point. I just found the idea that Cleveland in 2021 is like Santa Fe in 1821, this undiscovered gym. Just wait till the settlers get out there. Man, folks have had a long time to figure out if they like Cleveland, and most folks have been like, nah, don't like it that much. Now, I'm partial to Cleveland. I also enjoy it. They have a nice little scene down by Quicken Loans Arena. They got some good gambling. Yeah. I don't mind Cleveland.
Aquarium?
But I don't imagine
Rock and Roll
that
Hall of Fame?
Russell Wilson, every city has an aquarium, buddy.
The aquarium.
Stop saying the aquarium.
Everyone's
but I don't imagine that Russell Wilson's going to be able to sell Sierra that we're relocating to Cleveland. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going from Green Bay to a slightly warmer, slightly larger Green Bay. I don't. If he's leaving Green Bay, it's to go somewhere else, not like, oh, this is where I was before, just a little warmer. Okay, here's the problem, Wilds. There's two problems. First one is this. Broussard's right, there are no great options. Guess what? If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you're usually pretty much screwed because there's not quarterbacks you can easily find. And hope you, sometimes if you don't have a quarterback, you're so bad you can draft one. But A, that's not a sure thing. Just look at Cleveland's entire history of being terrible, drafting quarterbacks, having it not work out. Finally, they thought it did work out, and now maybe this one hasn't worked out. But the other reason this is a problem, but I'm going to try to turn it into a positive, try to have, you know, Baker's mistakes be preventative for young people in the future. Everybody, you can't be on Instagram. You can't be on Twitter. Can't be on any LinkedIn.
Don't be on
and not here. Bet on yourself. Nothing you know what? The best thing you can do is bet on yourself, America. I quit my job. I did this, you know, because we only hear about the successes. You don't often hear about, you know, my friend Ryan, the inventor, who's fledgling at best, trying to get his life together after pouring his whole 401k into the smart toaster that still hasn't gotten off the ground. But we have heard about Baker Mayfield, who bet on himself, Wilds. Bet on himself. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
What do you think Baker's final offer, the last best offer from Cleveland was? 4 years, 120, 70 guaranteed, maybe 60 guaranteed. Thereabouts, and it's like, nah, $30 million a year for starting quarterback in this league. I'm not taking 25% under what the going rate is. But if he had taken that money, not only would he have that money, which would be good, but I also think he would have had that surgery. I think if he had taken that money, he would have said, you know what? I'm hurt. The team's investing me long term. Maybe the team encourages him to have that surgery because they are invested in him literally and figuratively. Instead, he tries to appeal to the Chris Broussards of the world who are like, when men were men, and Jack Tatum and Ronnie Lott was cutting off fingers and Jack Youngblood was playing on broken legs. But it don't matter if you're terrible when you're hurt. And one thing we know about Baker is he's terrible when he's hurt. Now, maybe we can disagree about how good he is when he's not hurt, but when he's hurt, he's awful. And so I think had he taken the money, he would have had the surgery. Maybe the Browns win a couple of those games with a backup, or maybe Baker gets back healthier earlier and they win a couple of those games. They lost 15-10, 16-14. And we're having a different situation. But he didn't. And now I don't think Cleveland has any good options, Wilds.
No, I think you're right. And quick preamble, maybe your buddy Ryan hooks up with Baker. That's where I thought you were going. Like, hey, You know, I'm Baker, but I'm no chef. That's why I got the smart toaster, courtesy of Ryan. Just put it out there if Ryan's still on your couch. Broussard.
Baker doesn't need more endorsements. That's true.
But they cancel themselves out.
The foremost proponent of gut it out, Baker. I don't care that you literally have a fractured arm in your other arm and you have a torn labrum. You don't throw with your labrum. You throw with your heart. You throw with your guts. Yeah, I know you didn't care about any of that.
Yeah, I said
we were talking about, Baker was talking about, I'll decide if I'm healthy enough to play weeks ago. And you were big on, like, put it out there. And you said something interesting the first time we weren't around on this. You're like, you have to take into account how healthy he was. Maybe he was 75%. I think my issue is, what if he wasn't 75%? What if he was 48%? What if he was 20%? My issue the entire time is we have no idea how good Baker is because the math on how healthy he actually was is impossible for us to figure out. Do you still think it was the right move for Baker to gut it out this year when now he's finally admitting, like, yeah, I got to get surgery. I should probably shut it down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the Tom Brady played last year on a torn MCL.
We've seen guys play through injury. By the way.
That's just a it's out there. It's out there, all right? Everybody MCL. Believes it.
Yeah, it's out there.
Uh-huh. Look, we've seen guys play. Yes, it was the right move, Wiles. Absolutely, okay? And if you get cleared by the medical staff and your coaches believe you can play and you believe you can play, what's the issue?
You believe.
It's football.
Is Lamar making the wrong decision? So is Lamar making the wrong decision?
I don't think Lamar can run.
Because Lamar's gone the other way.
I don't think Lamar can run on the ankle.
Oh, but I'm sure he's clear.
We saw him last week. He could hardly walk. No, he could. He could hardly walk on his ankle. He's out there with a limp. No, it's different.
I think it's pretty clear. Broussard maybe says that Baker made the right decision. I bet Wilds, Baker would say he made the wrong decision. I bet if Baker was being honest.
You're right.
I bet when Baker is talking
maybe
to Bernie Kosar,
Nick,
you know, during outtakes from the Progressive commercials, Bernie's like, Baker, you should have shut it down. He's like, I know.
Great
sucks.
Commercial.
But Nick,
I'm going to have to open
because,
a house of pancakes here in Cleveland.
That's
with you,
because
Bernie.
They're missing the playoffs.
Sucks.
If they made the playoffs, I bet Baker would be like, you know what, it was worse.
He was so bad. Yeah,
that's what it was.
Okay. Should have been better.
We can talk more about this.
Right decision. It's football,
Skip and
guys.
Shannon tackle this next on Undisputed.
Football.
We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.
Football.